Certainly the Lord has spoken to us these days in a remarkable way. I feel that the ministry that has been given has been remarkably coordinated by the Holy Spirit of God. The thought of the fact that God calls and God enables, and the sense of unworthiness that characterizes those whom He calls so often, and then the wonder of the deeper, broader conception of the will of God that narrowed down this afternoon into guidance and detail. Praise God for it, and my hope is that before long we can have this in book form. I believe if Brother Dan Smith could set that out, and I know at least two publishers that would be glad to make it available. I'd like a book like that to carry around as I'm speaking to young people here and there, and not only young people, trawlers. Thank God for the ministry. I think there are some of us who are in a position, some among us who are in a position, to examine what they have in their hands, as Moses. When the Lord said, "What is that in thy hand?" He said, "Arise." And how the Lord showed what could be done with that rod if he submitted himself. His question concerning his mouth, he didn't feel worthy. The Lord had to remind him who made the mouth. Wonderful sense of dependence on the Lord for ability and the gift of the Holy Spirit for a task that he guides into. Certainly the Lord in guiding, and if we're certain of his will, can count on his faithfulness in undertaking for us, so that we won't undertake tasks in the energy of the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and in that wisdom that is a heavenly wisdom and not a wisdom from below. I'd like to speak a little bit in the next half hour on Matthew 20. This is the part we're going to take up to through the 16th verse, verses 1 through 16. We won't read it. We'll touch it as we go along. It has to do primarily of the sovereignty of the Lord. The Lord is sovereign. And we acknowledge his sovereignty as to our lives day by day, and as to his evaluation of any work done in his name, in work that he may entrust to us. We have in the first verse the story, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, a man who is the owner of the property, the owner of the vineyard, who goes out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Here is the man who is expecting an income. He's expecting fruit from his vineyard. And early in the morning goes out to hire laborers in his vineyard. And I think of this in two ways. I think of this, if you like, concerning an individual's life. I apply it that way. Or concerning the whole time in connection with the work in the gospel. Since the time the Lord called those fishermen and gave them the job of being fishers of men, right to the present time, including that time when he gave the Great Commission and when he bade the disciples of that time and the disciples in all times to the end of the age to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A threefold commission to disciple all nations through the preaching of the gospel and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. Now the first is evident, priority in the gospel. The second is the acknowledgement of faith on the part of those who believe. And the third is the follow-up, and that can go on and on and on and on, to 50 years and beyond, I'm sure. And the Lord can continue to use a ministry of building up through the Word of God. But you notice when the promise was given that he would give a reward in verse 2, he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day. Might say a dollar a day, shall we say. It was the the normal wage at that time was denarius, and it was a normal salary that the individual would receive. He agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, and he sent them into his vineyard. This is the commissioning, if you like. This is the call of the master of the vineyard, and the promise of reward, recognition for the labor, and into the work in the early part of the day. And I can say that the sovereign Lord, who is sovereign in all that concerns his work, and he is still seeking laborers. And we, up to the second verse then, we have the commissioning. And I liken that to the present call in the gospel, call to go forth with the gospel to the world. And the field is the world. Don't feel it's only the foreign field we're speaking about. In this land of ours is a media land, and it's a mission field of its own, as far as that's concerned. The field is the world. But the sovereign Lord seeks laborers and promises recognition for the labor that is done. Well, we don't hear anything about the first hour or the second hour, because one reason I like this chapter is they count the time out there in Central Africa the way they count it in Bible times. In other words, out in Africa, I haven't the slightest idea where east and west is here. East is over here. Is that right? Is this west over here? East is here. Okay, this is east and that's west. Well, in Africa, when the sun rises, it's just finished the 12th hour of the night. And when it gets this high, that's the first hour. And it gets that high, the second hour. And that high, the third hour. Fourth hour, fifth hour, sixth hour is right overhead. Sixth hour. Seventh hour, eighth hour, ninth hour, tenth hour, 11th hour, 12th hour. Because we're just practically on the equator, just 2 degrees north of the equator. And this is the picture we have in here. And of course, when we think about the ninth hour, we think about the Lord Jesus on the cross. We would call it 3 o'clock in our way of counting time. But in connection with the day, that's the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. But in Zaire, we start work. Well, some of us start work way back in the night yet. But workmen come to work usually at 1.5 hours, 7:30, 1.5 hours. And the whole day we have here is outlined according to the passage of the time, the way they count it out in Zaire. Verse 3. Now the householder goes out about the third hour. They've had 1 hour, 2 hours, and they've had 3 hours working in the vineyard. And those who enlisted at the beginning, early in the morning, they've been working there in the field. That's 3 hours. And 3 hours in the early morning, you can accomplish a lot in 3 hours. And I can say, in the first years of our youth, shall we say, there's an energy, and there's much can be accomplished if we get going for God in our youth. And throughout the life, throughout the hours of our lives, there is a continued and perhaps increased production for the Lord in His work. In this occasion, the man went out, the Lord of the vineyard went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and there's a harvest to be brought in. I've heard that some haven't been coming to the conference because they haven't gotten a harvest in. Suppose it's corn coming in at the present time. And here's the situation. Here's the third hour. And other people, and he's looking for laborers. He's looking for workers to get on the job. And the third hour, that is 9 o'clock in the morning, he finds that there are others standing around in the marketplace. And my, the amount of time they waste in Africa in the marketplace. It's not that they're buying and selling particularly. They're talking and they're laughing and they're telling the news. All the news of the area is promulgated and distributed there in the market. It's a time of loafing around and not producing. And the master comes the Lord comes, the Lord of the vineyard comes, and sees them standing in the marketplace. And the harvest is there to get the harvest in. And it's brought in before the nightfall. And in verse 4, he says to them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." He hasn't precisely said what he's going to give, but he said, "Whatsoever is right, I'll give you." And he asked them to go on their way. They went their way. He presumed they went their way and went into the vineyard. The Lord asking for laborers to go into his vineyard. And this is a call that has been reiterated through the generations, through the centuries, and it's still being reiterated, because it's clear that we understand that the commission in Matthew 28 is valid today, when the Lord said, "I'll be with you to the end of the age." And the age is still here, the commission is still valid. The Lord's desire, even as in the time he gave the commission just before he ascended to heaven, this command is valid today. And the time goes on. The years are passing. Not only my years as I grow older, but the years of opportunity to get in the harvest, to get the gospel out in this day of grace, these years are passing. The hours are going by. The third hour, "Go ye off into my vineyard." They're wasting their time. The hours are going by, and the harvest is waiting to be gathered. "Go ye off into my vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you." And they went their way, and the work goes on. Well, then, he went again about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour in Zaire, and these countries who count time like this, sun is right overhead. Half of the day is gone. And it's the time when it's hot and it's hard work, going out in the sixth hour. And what did he say? He said, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you." Did the same as he'd done before, said the same thing. And others come and go to the vineyard. The time is passing. The harvest is there. It needs to be gathered in. It's the sixth hour. And he waits another hour. The ninth hour. Time is passing. And he comes out and says, "Go ye also to the vineyard." And this ninth hour is the Lord. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Lord is on the cross. That's the hour he went. He died on the cross for us. Ninth hour. The sixth hour and then the ninth hour. He says the same thing. "Go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you." They went their way. He went out the ninth hour and said the same. Sixth hour, ninth hour. And then we could say that the next time, if he's saying six and then three more make nine, you see, he went out in the third hour and then 3 hours he waited. That's the sixth hour, and 3 hours he waited, and that's the ninth hour, and the next would be the twelfth hour. He came at the third hour, came at the sixth hour, came at the ninth hour, and the next, in the counting the 3 hours at a time, the next three will make it the 12th hour, and that's darkness. You know, in Africa, we don't have a twilight. When the sun hits the horizon, night's come in. When that 12th hour has come, it's night. Go out with a flashlight or a torch, and if you meet a leopard along the way, you wave this, I mean a glowing torch, a burning torch, you wave it like this and the leopard goes his own way. But don't go out after the 12th hour without something in your hand. But he doesn't go out on the 12th hour. He goes out on the 11th hour. And this is the important matter of this passage in my thinking. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, still not on the job. The call has been given out every three hours. And now he comes after 2 hours. There's still 1 hour. And then darkness. He doesn't come right away in the 12th hour. He comes from the 11th hour, 2 hours after the 9th hour. And he found others idle. And said unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? Asking again, all day, in all this time, in all this missionary endeavor, what has been done? Why are they standing there all day in the whole length of time, idle? You say it's in the market there. I don't know where they are, but they're standing idle. They're indolent. They're not producing. And the call has come out. It has come out repeatedly. And still there are some who are not involved. Not involved. I wonder if among us this afternoon there are those who have heard the call of God to go out with the gospel, whether it be to a local community or whether it be to the distant parts of the earth. In Toronto, at Easter time, I spoke at the conference of assemblies there in Canada, in Toronto. And we had a wonderful conference. The theme was from John 17, that the world may know, that the world may know. And I had the last meeting of the Saturday, and the Lord blessed. And after, as the people were starting to go out, and I was waiting perhaps to talk with some people, and the chairman, whom I hadn't recognized at all, came up and talked to me, and he said, you know, Bill, 25 years ago, when you gave a call for missionaries to go to Africa, 25 years ago at Guelph, Ontario, at a conference there, I heard God's call. He never told you. I heard God's call. He wanted me to go to Africa. I didn't go. Oh, he said, I've been a successful businessman. I have many things of this world that would say I've been successful, but I missed God's will and wept. He had just chaired a conference on a missionary conference. 25 years later, there he is weeping. I wonder if we're letting the time go past and the Lord's given us another time. Who knows how long we have? Who knows how long the darkness will descend on this earth as the believers are caught home in the rapture, the parousia, to go into the presence of the Lord? The 11th hour leaves just one more hour. Why stands he here all day idle? And they say to him, because no man hath hired us. What a lame excuse. No man hath hired us. But in grace, because the coming at the 11th hour in itself is grace, because he could well have come at the end and there would have been no opportunity to serve and bring in the harvest for those people. Once again, he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. Of course, applying this passage, when the evening comes, it's the end of the gospel testimony, the gospel of grace. When the Lord comes, it's darkness for the world, but for those who are his own, it's being caught up into his presence. And you know what happens? Very shortly, or shall I say immediately, after we believers are caught up to be with the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. The Bema, you know, was the place in Greece where they had in those early days of the Olympics in their own local character, where the judge sat, the judges sat. And those who were in the races, they came up before the Bema and they received their crowns, just of garlands of leaves and flowers. But that was all they wanted. They didn't want anything of intrinsic value, but it was the honor of the success in their running. And the Bema, that is the judgment seat of Christ, not for sins, not for salvation, but for reward, will come shortly after the Lord Jesus comes. Oh, I want to be there. I will be there. I'm not thinking of myself, for I feel that I have to take the place of those who, after they have served, can only say, I'm an unprofitable servant, for I've only done those things that I ought to have done. I want to be there to see some of my African brethren, Ezekiel Nguera, Yosia Butso, some of these men, Marcel Kimareki, a man with elephantiasis of the feet, great big legs like that, who didn't know much in the way of literacy. I don't think he ever did more than about the third grade, but we had the Bible, some of the Bible translated when he went out to a tribe known as the Walesi tribe. He was a Mobila. He went to a foreign tribe, but he said, I've got to go and tell these people about Christ. And he went out there with these big feet lumbering along out into the forest to a foreign tribe, and he went and lived with them. And he preached the gospel, and souls were saved. He used to come in, and he would get more materials so he could teach people how to read. He had charts, little charts, the vowel charts, and he would take them out, and he would teach them the next thing. And then we were printing also other gospels for the distribution. And he stayed out with them. When famine came in the land, the others left. He was the only one that was not of that particular tribe. He stayed. I remember seeing him at that time. Their bananas, they were depending on bananas, and the banana crop failed. They had an insect that came, a worm that came and spoiled the crop. They didn't have anything. They weren't hungry. And there he was, emaciated. Skin and bones, if you like. That is, except his legs, and they were great big. Well, the people of that tribe don't bury the bodies of other tribes. But when Marcel Kimareki died, they vied for the privilege of burying him. And he's with the Lord. And now, when they speak of Marcel Kimareki, and there are, I think, five assemblies in the area where he was today, they say, Marcel, he was the apostle to the Walesi. He brought the gospel to them, and they heard the gospel, and they were saved. I want to be at the judgment seat of Christ when Marcel Kimareki comes. I'm certain the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Lord judges truly and adequately. Verse 8. When evening was come, the Lord called the laborers. He said, call them for their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a denarius. You're going to be surprised at the judgment seat of Christ. When some that you might feel, him, what can he do? What education did he have? And he'll receive perhaps more than some who have labored long on the mission field. Because it's not the success the Lord is looking at, it's the faithfulness in the work and the giving forth of the word and the power of the Spirit of God. They received every man a denarius, or a penny, as we have in the King James Version. When the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the householder, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. And he answered and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine, go thy way, I will give unto the last even as to thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that which is right? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, and many are called, but few are chosen. And it's the same verse in the 30th verse of the previous chapter. This last hour can be the strategic hour in Christian mission. I wrote something from, I don't know if I can locate it. Yes, here it is. Something from J.M.V. Darby's synopsis. A Paul might come in late God having called him, and he has stronger testimony to grace than laborers who are wrought from the dawning of the day. I love that. Coming in at the end of the day, in the last hour, this is a critical hour. This is the hour of the harvest to get in, because after that, it's dark, and there's no more labor in the harvest field. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And the judgment seat of Christ is just beyond. We don't have time to go into it. We might look at one or two things. Look with me at Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 12. Romans 14 and 12. Well, the first person who gets that, read it for us. Romans 14, 12.
For then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
This is the judgment seat of Christ, accounted. 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Whoever gets that, read it, please. Exposing. 1 Corinthians 4, 5.
Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God.
The sovereign Lord will see that justice is done. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to read that myself, if I may. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Notice what is built. The work of the believer. Gold, silver, precious stones, and the Lord Jesus with those eyes of fire, he's looking at that which has been done by the believer. Gold, silver, precious stones, and fire but increases the brilliance of these gems and these metals. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Oh, if we're building of that character, it'll be to the praise of the Lord Jesus at the end of the day, and when we're there in his presence before him. But if man builds with wood, hay, and stubble, what happens then? If fire, the Son of Man with eyes of fire looks on wood, hay, and stubble, in an instant, poof, and it's gone. And all that's been done in the believer's life from the time he trusted the Lord have nothing to offer of precious gold, silver, and precious stones. Wood, hay, and stubble to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built upon it, he shall receive a reward. Salvation here, it's a question of reward. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. As Job said, by the skin of his teeth. Or just like a brand plucked from the burning, he's saved. But nothing to give to the Lord Jesus. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer it. So it's, in this passage, the evaluating and the incinerating. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5.10. Who's going to read that one for us? 2 Corinthians 5.10.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Can I give one more verse? This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Just read it, someone, please.
now little children abide in him, that when he shows here, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him that he comes.
Do you see the picture in the 20th chapter of Matthew? We have one more out. Certainly, it's the short time of the day. And it may be now or never. And when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. The last ones in are they going to be the first ones to receive a reward. We can praise God that it'll be adequate. And if it's crowns, we'd want to lay them at his feet and glorify his name. The tragedy is of sitting idly and not being involved in getting the gospel out to a perishing world. We know the way of salvation, we know the Lord, we have skills. Some have had certain training along certain lines and others along other lines. Certainly it's not difficult to decide a nurse who has nurse's training or a girl who has a school training. It's not difficult to suppose that this may be the line along which one will have the greatest opportunity and testimony. It may be for the teacher in her classroom here in the States, or the nurse in a hospital, and others. According to the profession, these things can well be influences in connection with guidance. I can't add a word to what we've heard about guidance, because it's such a thrill to think how wonderfully possible it is to know guidance in the will of God. We as speakers to the conference, we leave the issue with ourselves before God, that each one might be called, become more involved in this last hour, in bringing in the harvest. The Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to the harvest field. Let's join in that prayer. Now I want to say one more thing, and that's this. Some people are not going to go, but we can all pray. Robert Chapman, when he was, 95, 96 years of age, he said, the Lord has given me a tremendous burden in these closing years of my life. And he had a prayer list. He went around the world praying for those who are serving the Lord. Do you have the Missionary Prayer Handbook? A wonderful book that shows the pictures of the various missionaries on the field and the names of the missionaries and the work that they're doing. Hope in every home you could have a book of one of those prayer handbooks. The elders here can let you know how to get one. And read it every day, along with your daily reading of the Bible verses on the calendar or other devotional subjects you may be reading on the scripture. Pray. And you can pray and you can give to help those who are on the mission fields of the world or in the Lord's work in this land. And you can, in the Lord's grace, let go. You know, I've heard that in this country, that there are parents who are not encouraging their young people to go to the mission land. Maybe that's what the Lord would ask you to do, to let go someone for your family. Betty's mother said if she was going to the mission field, she would go over her dead body. And for 5 years, Betty had to wait before she'd go to the mission field. Because her mother said, no, not when I'm alive. But she went to the mission field after that, and she served the Lord with us out there for 25 years from that time. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the ministry that has been given in these days by thy servants. We come in our weakness and our need for thy help, realize that we've had it put before us that it's our responsibility to be involved in the work of the Lord, in the local assemblies, in the local communities, in the work areas where we find ourselves, to be active in bringing in the harvest, for the harvest is all over, waiting to be brought in. And for some who may be called to some distant land to carry the good news of salvation, to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being together in conference. And we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in the results that will come as thy word has been ministered to the hearts of thy people. Receive our thanks and blessings. Thanks and praise for thy blessings. In the word and name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.